We have a call tonight with Dr. Jeffrey Maringel, Dr. Gary Sconyers, and Dr. Stephen Davis. The topic is a new formula on longevity. And we have Dr. Yuri Krohn on, who is the formulator. And we'd like to start out with having Jeff do a quick introduction on it, since he has done most of the observations on it.
Yuri is always looking at and finding new energies to map, old energies to enhance and expand upon. And those of us that are kind of his field testers and clinical eyes and ears have the fantastic opportunity of observing these things firsthand, usually through ourselves and then through our practices. And the longevity formula has turned out for me in my practice to be quite indispensable at this point, and frankly, one of the broadest and most physiological of the energy tools that we've seen in quite a long time. Let me qualify that, because I use so many of the energy formulas for very specific things, but longevity formula has a very interesting global effect on folks with any type of physical condition. I've been doing nutrition and homotoxicology and homeopathy and herbal medicine, herbal drainage medicine for almost 25 years now. It's 24 years. And that's why I'm glad longevity came along, because I want to do it for another 24, 25 years. It's always fascinating. There's always something new going on. And the missing link has always been energy to catalyze, to raise the capability of the individual organism to adapt to the stress that it is under. And while we may have the perfect nutrition, the perfect drainage remedies, the correct antitoxin, everything going on, the missing link is almost always energy, because sick people are hypoergic. They may be hypoxic, may have low oxygen, they may have acid-alkaline imbalances, challenges in their buffer systems, etc. But in order for this whole system to really work, it has to have an ample supply of systemic energy, cellular energy, and even subcellular energy. And so we've started to work in that space, in that area of cellular metabolism, cellular respiration, and actually intercellular function, and providing energy to that which creates our life force, and that is one cell at a time. So whether it's an organ or tissue or an organ system, they all need to have the capability to rejuvenate, regenerate, and to create healthy, normal, vibrant cells. That's what longevity is about. And I've had the privilege to observe it now for close to 3 months in quite a few cases, and it is my number one used energy tool. It goes out the door with almost every new patient as a foundation to make everything else that I do work better. It provides an ample supply of energy and restoration of function to whatever tissue happens to be under the most duress. And as such, we know that the healing response takes time, and different time for different organs and tissues. My observation so far has been that this is both physiologically observable in the early use by many methods. I've seen, of course, changes in heart rate variability. It's what I do. Changes in our EIS, changes in electrodermal screening, and a tremendous increase in stability. You know, it takes quite a bit of energy to change an autonomic response on HRV. It takes quite a bit of energy to change interstitial fluid conductivity. And it needs to be delivered across the entire system. And yet that's what we're seeing. In chronic degenerative cases, which most of what I see are, you know, I'm usually their last stop, we have observed an ongoing increase in repair in a very unique way. The body has its own hierarchy of repair and rejuvenation. And all we can do is observe that and provide what it needs over time. And so while longevity has been rather dramatic in doing that in the short run, it's my firm belief after watching it now for about 3 months that the longer one uses it, the more value it provides. And if you're working on a liver, or if you're working on someone's cardiovascular system or a neurodegenerative disorder, you're talking about months and in some cases years of rejuvenation in order to restore function to those tissues. If you look at the pace of repair of tissues, it's going to give you the prognosis of how long somebody should be staying on longevity. Frankly, I personally never intend to stop using this because I see its value, and I feel that anyone participating in this call, the first thing you should do with this product is get it, test it on yourself, and use it yourself for a while before you introduce it to your patients. Feel it and get to know it and get to understand it. It has proven thus far to be very valuable, and I have not seen a single adverse event to date. And we have used actually several hundred units of it have gone out and are in clinical use from my practice alone. So that's my intro to it, and we'll get into specifics later, but I'd like Yuri to tell you what's involved in longevity, how it came about, and why these properties are so prevalent.
About this formula, it has a lot of components, but main components which I believe provide that property which Jeff was talking about, several things which support cells' health, like energy of chlorophyll, energies of some precious stones. But the main component of this formula is, first of all, energy of stem cells. It is blood stem cells, which when energy was copied and transformed, I would say, it was programmed to stimulate stem cells of the body to go wherever they needed and whatever they need to do. And also energy of telomerase, which is responsible for replication of DNA, as you know. And it was also programmed to do it in optimal way, so it would prolong life of cells. That's what main component which I believe do this job. And hopefully with time, of course, we always work on improvement, and I hope that sometimes we will get even embryo stem cells, possibility to get energy of that stem cells, and probably broaden spectrum of effect of longevity. But it looks like it works pretty well now.
So any unique research that you've done, Yuri?
Part of this formula, which is responsible for suppression of cancer cells, was tested in the University of San Diego, and it successfully demonstrated this ability.
Was it significant, or was it just...
It was very solid scientific research, and it was 80% suppression, which is huge in this case, because cancer cells in the tube, to suppress 80%, usually chemotherapy is not able to do that in many types of cancers.
So if I understand you, is that in the testing, there was a significant suppression by
Yes.
your energy formula where they had nothing available out of all of their bags of tricks to suppress the same cell line.
That's right, yeah. And I hope that it will work as a preventative energy in longevity for these kind of problems.
I had the privilege of seeing the primary research, and to encapsulate it efficiently, there was suppression of 3 types of breast cancer and 2 types of lymphatic dysfunction. And the other interesting thing that I found most exciting was that there was a reduction of cellular apoptosis time to apoptosis of the healthy tissue cells by almost 20%.
Ready to repeat that, Jeff?
The cellular apoptosis
okay.
in healthy tissue cells was reduced by 20% from normal time to a cellular death. And therefore, we're seeing a true extension of functional cellular lifespan. That is definitely the telomerase influence.
So can we invert that by saying there's a potential of a 20% increase in cell longevity?
That's why it's called longevity.
Okay, just trying to be clear.
Yeah, you know, and so if in vivo that transmits to 10%, 5%, the traction it gives us with degenerative disease is it allows the healthy cells to exist and function in their normal state at a higher energetic level for a longer period of time and allows the stem cells to heal and repair those tissues and bring good information, and conversely suppresses any abnormally functioning cells. And we feel by raising the metabolic energy level to a point where the cancer cells cannot take it, can't stand the high ATP output.
I think that Jeff is absolutely right, saying that whatever we observe in vivo, usually in normal, in the human body, will get better results, because we remember what Professor Joy Jones did experiments with gamma-radiated cells. In vivo, very powerful healers couldn't heal the cell because it's in vivo. There is no support from other systems in the body. And I think in this case also, in a real situation in the human body, the effect of this energy will be even stronger.
Now, there's one thing that I do want to point out on this call is that the longevity elixir is not the elixir that we use in the research, but it has components. So I just want to be clear that we're not working on a cancer cure or anything like that. This is just some stem cell research that we're engaging in that is targeted towards longevity. And this was the first part of a very long set of experiments that will go towards creating something that will be for a longevity product and to work with stem cells directly.
So, Jeff, on EIS, what parameters move the most?
Well, that's what's fun to kind of watch, is the way the body heals and repairs, in what order, of what are the important tissues. And surprisingly, and I guess it kind of goes back to what our German teachers always taught us in hemotoxicology, that the thin bowel is the key to life, the small intestine. The largest change I see most rapidly, and I discussed this with Yuri, and I think I have a pretty solid theory as to why, but the stomach small intestine is always the first to re-energize and restore function, and therefore that is why we get such a huge impact on HRV, because we take the vagus nerve hyperactivity or overstimulation out of the picture early. I feel that the telomerase works on the highly proliferative tissue, obviously, first, because it is the most rapid to change. Mm-hmm. And with the skin and gut tissue, integument being the most rapidly reproducing cells in the body, the mucous membranes of the oropharynx, the GI tract, etc., are the first to derive the biggest benefit from the longevity formula. However, the other interesting thing is its impact on neurology. And we have quite a number of neurological Lyme cases, cerebral ataxias, etc. And the very interesting part about that is the skin and the CNS is all ectodermally derived tissue. So I think if we go do a little looking back at our embryology and go look at ectoderm, mesoderm, and endodermal sourced tissues and organs, we're going to find the healing pattern that's created by the telomerase and the stem cell energy occurring in those three tissue layers as a guideline, which again falls back to the original homotoxicology theory.
Mm-hmm. Do you find a increase in discharge in the mucosal linings?
Somewhat, yes. Nothing of an uncomfortable nature. Like, I think we should talk about the carrier solution having switched from a mineral base to the aloe base as the carrier solution, and I think that is highly beneficial, again, especially to the mucous membranes and the GI tract.
Correct, because I'm sure, because I do remember back in my day in the service on the East Coast out there near Washington, D.C., is that lot of allergy and upper respiratory drama. Well, we have it out here on the West Coast a little different because of the oak and the dryness in our particular community. But the specific shift that I've seen as far as the clinical impact from an observer standpoint, not going through all the testing stuff and the muscle testing, but from an observer standpoint, is that the significant shift in the chronic rhinitis, sinusitis, allergy phenomena as appearing at first that there is an exacerbation, but actually there's actually a deeper healing going on. You know, at first it was like, interesting. And then as time went on, patient's symptoms significantly reduced to the point that there's a normalization. And for chronic sinus issues for us out here, particularly because of the irritant of the oak in our air, is really a nice little blessing to have as an additional opportunity to see a shift in somebody's health.
Well, the energetic response will follow very true to the homotoxicology principles. And that is to reverse from chronic, let's say, non-excretory phase, being in the humoral phase or whatever, to a return to an actual mucous membrane response, which is very appropriate. It's what you really want. And the map's already been laid out there by Reckwig. And pretty much if you follow it, I mean, we've had some pretty crazy things happen. Reversal of genetic markers in an acute myelogenous leukemia, along with a recovery to normal blood values in about 45 days.
Wow.
But medically diagnosed. I have the paperwork. There's two genetic markers specific to that condition. The client had to use some heroic measures in the hospital. He's very committed to integrative medicine. And he said, you know, I'm gonna live or die with this. It wasn't the only protocol, but it's the only part of the protocol that, to the best of my knowledge, would have any influence on a DNA marker.
It's interesting to know that we had report from some cosmetologists who did also experiment with DNA marker using longevity infused in her creams, and it demonstrated changing gene expressions and stimulated so-called longevity gene, and also several other genes responsible for health of skin. She was interested mainly in skin health.
And that falls in line to what we're already seeing elsewhere.
Dr. Davis, how long did it take with your persons that were experiencing sinus problems that they used longevity? How long did it take for them to respond, and then what kind of dosage were you using for them?
Good question. We're using 10 drops three times a day, just as a boilerplate, and we're testing around that, but just to get a feel. So in my first couple of weeks, it's just 10 drops twice a day. And like Jeff, everybody and our clinic is leaving with the longevity. So it's a process of just kind of sending them out and then watching as it comes back. And as it comes back through the observation is that within a couple of days, they notice the significant shift, not a discomfort, but there's a shift in their symptomatology. So if it's a chronic sinusitis, they're going to have a little extra nasal discharge, they're going to have a little rattling in their breathing at night, those kinds of things. But what's interesting is that within about 5 to 7 days, there's a significant reduction of those symptoms, and right now, and our pollen count is extremely high. So I'm seeing that this is a significant positive. I haven't had it long enough. You know, I'm looking at maybe 3 to 4 months out, we're going to have a better picture on this. But as far as we have an increase in symptomatology that patients think are negative initially, which is increased drainage and increased sensitivity and a sense of awareness that their sinuses are doing something and they're not always sure that that's a good thing. And then within 3 to 5 days, there is a reduction of the symptom, and to the point that within a couple of weeks, there's a significant settling down of all that. And in the midst of more irritants in the atmosphere, I find that this is a very interesting trade-off.
Do we have anything to add into the information?
Yeah, I find that on some of our skin lesions, if you just apply it directly, you know, those curious things that people are worried about, there is an interesting shift that takes place with them within just a couple of weeks. And so we don't have the full picture. I have pretty good notions and other things. It takes 3 to 4 months. And so we've only been at this specifically for a couple of weeks. But the changes of the skin from unhealthy to healthy, or the changes of that where there's an immune response within the body to actually get after it, there's an interesting shift that's going on quicker than what I've seen with other things we've used. So, again, with skin lesions from ionizing radiation and folks who spend too much time in the sun and they don't protect themselves and don't know how, those kinds of things. And just a maturing thing, as we get older, we've seen an awful lot of our seniors, just because they're sun lovers, is that they have lots of little barnacles and scales and scrapes that our dermatologists like to cut out and burn off. And so just interesting enough that for those who aren't all that excited about going through those procedures are willing to try something different. And in the process of adding this to their routine, I'm finding that it's a quicker, it's benign. There's a little itchiness that takes place from time to time, but it's lifting moles and it's lifting age spots that are gnarly. And then, of course, some of our skin changes that take place that our dermatologists like to count and cut and burn. We don't have enough clinical experience at the moment to give a timing or a dating on that. And hopefully within about 6 months, we'll have that nailed down.
Okay. Dr. Davis?
Yes, sir.
This is Dr. Sconyers. Now, when you put that on the skin,
yep.
Are you using the concentrate, or are you diluting that with water too?
No, I just use concentrate. Just have them take a Q-tip and put a drop on it.
Okay.
We just have them do it at night.
Okay, so
yeah, I don't want them
on skin tags and.
Yes, exactly right.
Okay.
Yep. You know, other patients are, they come in and say, "What does this look like?" And you know, it's an early skin cancer. But the thing of it is, it's not you know decayed enough to go to that realm. But they're worried about it. And so what we do is just say, in your nighttime routine, take a Q-tip and put a little dot on it, you know, let it get moist, and then let it air dry. Go to bed.
Okay, well, good.
And we'll see what happens. So my protocol is just, you know, I'm not doing 10, 12 treatments a day or 4 or 5 treatments a day. I'm just saying, let's see if we can make a change happen to this, and let's just do it at night. That's when you're sleeping and resting, and healing responses are taking place. So let's see if it makes a difference.
Okay. Well,
and we're getting good reports that it is.
Well, that's good to know.
Yep.
Thank you.
Jeff, do you have anything to add to longevity?
Well, I'm glad Steve brought up the topical application because, of course, we've done that also. And all our observations fall in line with the theory of the fact that we expect these highly proliferative tissues to show an early positive response to this type of stimulation, that there's more than reasonable expectation that would occur just based on physiology and the fact that these tissues turn over faster, and therefore if they have the correct information, they're going to heal and repair faster, and they're going to react faster. So it's always good when we get on these, because we don't consult and consort with each other on a regular basis, except when we do these calls. And Steve's up in Northern California, and Dr. Sconyers down in Dallas, and I'm over here in Pennsylvania, and we're all on our separate islands and running around looking at this stuff. And when we start seeing the same things over and over and over again, something must be happening, and that's when we get together and share it with everybody once we have enough data to say, yeah, this is what we're seeing. And we still implore everybody who comes on these calls to let us know what's up. What are you seeing? What is your observation? You know, what's going on in your clinics, in your practices? Just because we've been doing this a long time doesn't mean your insights and your observations are not totally valued and validated by all of us. And so, you know, if there's anything that I would like to implore everyone listening to this, is give us feedback. That's what we're here for. And everything that you do using these energy tools, both positive or negative, is valuable insight for all of us who are helping to move this technology forward. I think that's important for everyone to know.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. And now I'd like to open it up for questions. First question from Marianne Robinson.
Well, I'm brand new at this. I've just been on board with these formulas for about a month, and I'm a nutritionist in Southern California and practiced for 30 years and used macro things and supplements to help get people squared away in the issues and the areas that they're worried about. But a new client came to me last week, a woman in her late 50s, and she came for dietary. Okay, this woman awoke in the middle of the night with a sharp, searing pain on the top of her head, and it was over quickly, but she was left with complete hearing loss in her right ear. And she had been slowly losing her hearing in her left ear for the last few years, but this was sudden and lasting. She had MRIs and brain scans and all that, and they said she had a textbook-perfect-looking brain. But her complaint, she didn't come to me for this. She just happened to tell me this during the consultation. But she said that besides the hearing loss, she got fitted for hearing aids, so she's now using hearing aids. But she always is aware of her right brain. She can feel it. And I wondered, is this like a mini stroke or a pinched nerve? Or, you know, they say there's nothing there, but she's definitely feels something. So I sent her out with Master Brain and stress relief, but I didn't know what to do from there. And I should say she's had 16 years of just unremitting stress since she immigrated here from Serbia during the Balkan Wars. She's had a lot of reasons to be set up for a stress event. Any ideas?
Is it possible this woman has any proximity to electromagnetic devices? Well, especially Dectaphone in her room or near her head.
A what?
A handheld portable phone.
Handheld phone. Yeah, you know, I don't really know.
Okay, let's find that out, because these types of things have been reported to me in another venue where we've been working pretty strongly with EMF fields and EM sensitive individuals. Over a long period of stress like this, what tends to happen in the brain and what I think she's feeling is there's a huge decrease of acetylcholine capability. We're able to test that with the EIS as an ability to observe those levels, but there's other tests for acetylcholine. With her sensing her brain that way, I would think there's a strong possibility of that being a significant deficiency.
The acetylcholine?
Yes.
So you've heard of people that can sense the presence of part of their brain?
Yes.
Oh, that was a new one.
Again, because we see so many neurological cases, you know, everything from Lyme's to seizure cases to, I'm going to tell a little war story a little later about a man that I just have for 6 weeks with Friedreich's ataxia, allegedly an incurable hereditary disease. He's standing up out of his wheelchair. He crawled into an F-350 pickup last week from his wheelchair and has balanced. I mean, it's crazy. I had zero expectation of doing anything but helping to keep this guy alive longer.
What did you give him?
He's doing high doses of specific fatty acids and uridine triphosphate along with about 50 drops a day of longevity.
So would longevity be more appropriate for her, do you think, than the Master Brain?
It would be appropriate because of just its global effect.
Is there any place for the Master Brain in that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the two of them.
Yes. And for this case, it may be very beneficial. But I would look at her fatty acid profile very strongly.
Home with was fatty acids. You know, she wasn't using that, so I did send her home with that. But
well, there you go.
Not
so your experience put you right on it anyway, empirically.
Yeah, it really worried me to think that they said there's absolutely nothing wrong. They said she was textbook perfect for the medical students to come and observe.
And that's common because within the system, again, just from a concept, is that when they're looking at their images, they're looking for the classic brain hemorrhage, brain trauma, dramas.
Gross.
And the superficial inflammation, they're not able to see. So she had an event, probably due to her high cortisol levels. It kind of melted and burned up her essential fatty acids. And in doing so, she had a vulnerable spot in her brain that took a hit. That's why she felt it. Now what you want to do is repair it. So kind of the knee-jerk, when we're looking at our tool shed, the knee-jerk reaction, if I'm going to repair something, the first thing coming out of your toolbox should be longevity.
Okay.
And then added to that, because of the region that is involved, the brain, master brain formula, is going to have a profound effect of modulating and balancing the energies as well as the communication of the brain so the repair will happen efficiently. You're on the right track.
Does that kind of event often happen to end up with a loss of hearing?
Well, it's not a matter of it happen a lot. It does happen. There are other things that happen where people go dizzy because it hits a different part. So what you have is you got a circuit board in your brain which have connections to our gross abilities, and what happened is that they had an event. So you have to think of, is it a circuit board went down, and so it just happened to catch the hearing.
Could come back?
Yes. But the cool part is that what you're doing is going to mitigate against that dramatically.
Against
anything happening, more events. These would be classified within the medical community as transient ischemic attacks,
uh-huh,
because they have an event, they have an attack, they don't feel good, and they can't find anything wrong.
Right.
So is the event real? Of course. Can it be measurable with gross testing at the moment that conventional medicine has? No. Will it continue if you don't change the atmosphere, if you don't change the circumstances within her brain? Yes, more can happen. So what you're doing is dramatically positive and well-intended. It's going to work well. So hopefully within short order, 2 or 3 months, these events will actually reduce significantly under your care, and she actually will heal. That's the beauty is the healing game. And this is kind of, for those of us been in the trenches a long time, it's been very frustrating involved with patients where we watch and we manage their disability.
Right.
As Jeff has shared on a number of occasions, the beauty of energy tools is we get out of the managing of the disabilities into actually providing hope for recovery. Totally different emotion.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about it.
Oh,
is
man.
There any advice you have for dosing? Since I have no testing methods, I'm not I'm a nutritionist, so I don't have EAV or any of that stuff.
Well, listen to your intuition. You've been involved in nutritional work for how long?
30 years.
Okay, so you have an intuitive nature as far as how much you give to kids and how much you give to adults on a particular supplement or a food diet program, right?
Yeah, I just guess, and so far I haven't hurt anybody.
Well, yeah, well, there's more than guessing. You learn through observation,
yeah.
Your intuitive body, your gut begins to tell you this is what's right. So trust it. Dosing.
About making those formulas for Yuri, about the master formulas, this is just a curiosity of mine. I was wondering in how they're made, are they, I don't know how to say this exactly, but are the frequencies stacked one upon the other, or are there just 10 things that you mix up in a really big jug? 10 drops, like having 10 drops of every single thing in it by virtue of their stacking?
You're asking about how it's made.
Start dosing, yeah.
In regards to dosing?
Well, right, because if you have 10 drops of something that's called stress relief, 10 drops of something called master brain, are you getting one drop of 10 things, or are you getting the overlay of those energy frequencies all on top of each other so that 10 drops is still really a good dose?
It is a sequential infusion, not just frequencies. It's a sophisticated formula which infused one after another, and that's what master formula is. It's different formulas previously separate, combined in one. So when you take 10 drops of which?
Of master brain.
Yeah, of master brain. It contains a lot of information there. It's working like a software. It's not that amount of frequencies. It's a little bit inaccurate, I would say, language in this sense. It's more analogy like a program in a computer. It is more sophisticated programming of energy. And then master formula usually combines many programs which previously did some separate jobs, and now they're united as one big program to do many jobs simultaneously.
So is there any use then to use balance by itself now that that's part of master brain, or shouldn't I just...
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you need to always test it, like with muscle testing, because sometimes even if it's in this formula, but if you want to stress something specific part of this, even that part which is included in this formula can be needed in particular cases to stress this particular problem.
also like an extra boost of one.
Mm-hmm.
On
right.
Top of the
meth. Right. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
What it is it, it's now a harmonic symphony instead of a series of solos.
Right.
Very good.
That's good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
exactly
how can we
right.
learn
and
what the components are of the master formula so that we know what we're tweaking? Is there a list of what's in, of which formulas are components of?
We have some editions which were not used as a separate formula. So it does make sense, you know, to put only those which are already known. There are some unknown things there which were added along the way when we combined this formula. Jeff recommended us several formulas together. Then we added something and sent to Jeff, and Jeff said, yeah, this edition is good. And so it's kind of a long process, and I don't think that it will be more confusing for people if we will give a list of programs which were included in there.
Okay. I remember on CD18 it listed a whole bunch of components, but I didn't have a sense that it was a complete list.
Hmm.
Yes, it is not a complete list.
Okay.
Right.
But it's a good start.
It's a good
yeah.
start. That's right.
It gave me some idea of what I was dealing with,
right.
so as not
mm-hmm.
to duplicate it. Yeah.
Did we answer all your questions for you?
Oh, I've got 1,000 more, but, you know, life is short, so
okay.
somebody else should get a chance.
Okay.
Please,
all right.
Please understand that it is so important for you to follow your nutritional needs for these folks.
Oh, definitely.
And to look at the energy tools as a drive factor, as a delivery enhancement system.
Well, she already feels tons better by getting off sugar, for instance.
Sure.
Yeah, so we're starting at a very basic level, but
keep us appraised of the case, and if there's any questions you have, you can always forward them to Energy Tools, and they'll see that those of us who are on the call will get that information, because we like to follow a case like this and give you input if we feel it can be helpful.
Well, do you still answer emails on Ask Dr. Ma?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Feel free.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Sarah Jones?
Yes. Hi. I was wondering if you've seen a difference in using longevity just by itself, if you're looking at that, you know, just strictly by itself for control purposes, or if you've seen a difference in its effectiveness when you combine it with other formulas, kind of in general, not necessarily any disease process, but just, you know, in general.
I have been using it a cappella for, you know, most of the cases that I've been doing it with. One, to get a clean observation, and not it being the only therapy, but it being the only energy tool in the protocol. Because I want to see how much it does over what period of time before I start spotting in other energies or seeing where I need to go with it. My amazement has been with my neurological cases. And that's tough to do because we've seen crazy stuff over the years. But when you take somebody that you have no expectation of any significant recovery, just trying to get a little better quality of life, and they start recovering from an inherited genetic disease, this is going to go in the books here, this one, because he's got 4 other siblings with Friedreich's ataxia. And they've been documented by a major Eastern university for over 15 years. So we have enough medical documentation in this one set of people to just rock the world. And I've made a proposal to them to treat them under very specific conditions, pro bono. So I think if I can rock all 5 of them, we'll have some protocols then.
Great. And definitely have a feather in the cap for the validity and the effectiveness of energy tools.
Well, absolutely, and significant in coupling that with clinical nutrition.
Right.
Because this is 100%, there's no antitoxic therapy going on, there's no homeopathy going on here. It's pure nutrition and energy tools. That's it. It's actually a ridiculously simple protocol, and we'll just wait and see. And at the appropriate time, I will share. So far, we've been having success in neurological Lymes, in other types of ataxia, and closed head injuries. There's a lot of damaged noggins out there, folks. There's a lot of brain damage out there.
Jeff, have you had experience with myasthenia gravis or Bell's palsy?
But no myasthenia.
Okay.
But there same church, different pew.
Oh,
you know. You,
oh yeah, exactly right.
Jeff, have you done anything with Lou Gehrig?
I don't have one of those in the practice right now either.
Okay, we just got one from. He's from Guatemala. He's the president of a major university over there, and he's 34 years old. And he came in last week, so. Well, no, have you had any experience with that?
Any experience with MS, Jeff?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I just had an engineer down I've been seeing for over primary progressive. I've had him for over 12 years. But anyhow, I used this with him just last Friday because he had not been down since we got longevity or since we got whole fatty acid concept going on. And his wife sent me a very positive email already today. I mean, we've kept him alive for all these years. He quit going to the support group meetings because everybody was dying. You know, he couldn't stand meeting somebody, and then they were passing away. So he's far outlived his life expectancy with his condition already. We're looking to get him fixed up. I keep looking for what's going to heal him. And it looks like this is the big possibility to have that happen.
So your protocol and neurologic challenges is loading them up?
Oh, yeah, I load them up.
Okay.
I dose them hard.
Okay.
I'll do 25 TID, QID. I give them a couple bottles and start rolling it, and I push heavy duty on the fatty acids, the full spectrum of really good fatty acids, especially PC and phosphatidylserine. I think so often we get this right and we underdose.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not going to hurt them and they need a lot of rebuilding and they need a lot of energy. You got a chronic degenerative disease for 12 years, you think you're a little hypoallergic? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So start ramping it up and ramp it up until they can't stand, until something starts happening. You know, if a little isn't doing it, then pick it up a little bit. If a little more isn't doing it, then pick it up a little more. I've never been shy about dosing.
Mm. Yeah, me neither. What for those on the call, if you do the muscle testing work, all your questions are absolutely right, but sometimes you need to ask, can the patient tolerate more?
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to do is that if in your administering of the drop and dose, it's just a matter of if you get that little intuitive whistle that goes off in your head that you may need to do more, but you're a little bit resistant because you've got your protocol laid out, all you got to do is in your testing is just take it to that level, and that is just ask. And if in doing so, sometimes you can end up like Jeff and I do, where we load them up, as we say, but that's where we get to really see some spectacular shifts in where they're at.
Then my last question is with the longevity. Now, if you were to mix that, like with healthy mouth or longevity by itself, like topically on like dental disease or stuff like that, would that have has anybody tried working with dental issues and longevity?
Yeah. Yes, ironically enough, I've got about 4 or 5 patients doing that.
Ironically enough, I didn't think of it, but Peggy, who's my right-hand girl in my office, did because she had a tooth that was bothering her, and she didn't say anything to me, so she took one. She did it to herself for about 3 or 4 days and then asked me if it could work.
Would they have, like, a healing type? Would it, something come to a head, or would it just take care of the issue, you know?
It'll go both ways. It goes whichever way nature finds the least law of resistance.
Okay.
So in some cases, there's an abscess brewing, so it'll bring it to a head, and it'll burst, and it'll clean up. In other cases, it will act like an immature acne boil, and it will just recede. So if it's just inflammation and irritation, it will generally just calm it down. But there is a heightened sensitivity in the first 3 or 4 days. So it becomes a little sensitive to heat and cold. And it's just because that you're providing energy to a system that has been, see, all disease is a low energy state. So when you introduce new energy to it, you raise it, but you also raise the debris. And out of that, what you have is cross-current tension that's going on. So you get a little hypersensitivity, and you get a little, maybe a little fragility in the gum line as far as when they brush your teeth and those things. But if they stay with it, it will resolve.
And are you doing that with just the longevity, or are you mixing it with healthy mouth?
Yeah, longevity, healthy mouth, and I use, just because of antimicrobial kind of things, is a ionic silver, kind of like a colloidal silver or a soluble water silver, those kinds of things, just
okay.
To create just another element for reducing the microbial challenge. Because there's 30,000 bugs in your mouth. It tends to be a shift that takes place from a strep into some of the candida, propolis, and some of the other microbes. tend to be problematic. And so what happens is that I've just found that just by using, because we always start just first, just energy, with water, and then it's, okay, let's add a little more, and then that seems to hit it. So it's a little cocktail. We have a little, have all our little patients get themselves a shot glass, and then just make little cocktails of the energy minerals with, and then it's just a matter of what's your base. Is your base going to be water, or is it going to be a mineral, or is it going to be an aloe? What's it going to be?
And then I think it was Jeff was talking about, he's been doing most of the studies with the cancer, but whoever can answer this. When you're doing the longevity, was it the formula that's available to us with the aloe base? And if people are doing traditional cancer therapy, can they still use the energetics?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the real beauty of what we have to offer, and this is one of the beauties, and again, I applaud Yuri for all of his work and Constance for keeping him motivated and those things, is that this is true integrated medicine, meaning that you can interface with them without interfering with them, but actually complement sufficient enough that you can actually become the silent hero.
I'd like to interject here that the longevity elixir has components that went into the research that we are doing, but we are not saying that longevity is treating cancer. Okay, the next caller.
This is Maida Carrillo from Clearwater, Florida. I'm a doctor of acupuncture and a naturopathic doctor, and I have a Parkinson's patient. But I wonder if you could have some suggestions for Parkinson's.
Dose and a lot of it, longevity.
Longevity? Okay.
But just a little footnote on the Parkinson's.
Yes.
Michael J. Fox, several months ago on Oprah, let something slip in his conversation with Oprah when she asked him about the stem cell research, because he's been the proponent of the stem cell research. And she asked him, is it obvious you have lots of money, so why don't you go to one of these countries and have stem cell work done on your brain? And he let something slip, which most of the media kind of ignored. And what he said was, if you pour in stem cells to a diseased region, the energy of the disease is still there. You grow the disease back. So the beauty of what Yuri has come up with, then the magic, is that you restore from inside out. So you change the energy signal. So there's more hope here with Yuri, with longevity, for your patients. There's some specific things that Jeff has because he's worked with a number of patients over the years. You may want to email him. But as far as, you know, out of the chute, getting started back with us, longevity would be your best choice.
I will be keeping notes. And if I see anything that I can keep you informed with, I will definitely do that.
That would be wonderful.
Great. Thank you very much. Next caller.
Hello, my name is Susan. And I have a couple of questions. One would be about a client with RSD from an automobile accident several years ago with major trauma to the legs. Would longevity by any chance be able to use this and possibly help this situation along with Master Brain?
My intuition would say yes. And particularly with the longevity, start with that first. Give it about a 7 to 10 day run, because the problem with RSD is that in the parasympathetic-sympathetic drive balance over that nervous system down those peripheral nerves, the unfortunate thing is that pain is the phenomena that really stresses the patient. And so in the process of trickle-charging new energy in, their symptom may kick up a little bit. And so I've seen this with other things. With an RSD patient, I went from a period of my life where I wanted to be real aggressive, found that that was not so good for the patient. So it's just a matter of my take on that is use a single, start off with the longevity, but then work with your fatty acids, and then also work with the caution, just slow is better than fast in that case.
A muscle test to start with, maybe 3 to 5 drops.
Correct. Just be, if you can do the sensory muscle testing and questioning and ask, is it in the highest and greatest good, asking if it's appropriate dose, work slow, and just listen to your intuition and be careful and pay attention. I think that you'll be able to see significant shifts, but you've got to walk through a landmine.
Do you use modalities at all, like laser or scanner? Because imbricating using the MSM spray bilaterally through the good leg and the bad leg with longevity dose internally and topically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use scanner biofeedback electrical stim on the good leg, not the affected one, and laser on the affected leg.
Okay.
You can use electrical modality on the non-affected leg and photonic stimulation on the affected leg with a good dose of energy from longevity up front, internalized, before you do a treatment, and then imbricate it on. Spray the daylights out of it with the MSM spray and a clean sweep and give it a good rub and a lot of love and good intention. It's really, really pretty amazing. I actually had a neurologist friend of mine refer me a tough RSD case. And internal and external energy. It's all about the energy dysfunction. It's lost its way. It has no idea about that.
It's in complete chaos.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's interesting. If a Nerconia laser is 640 bandwidth type of low-level laser, there's more types of energy tools than just energy tools. So you're activating C fibers with scanner technology and laser. And if you don't have it available to you, find someone around you who does and work with them.
Mm-hmm. Light technology.
LED would help.
Mm-hmm.
Laser's a little more intense.
Right.
Yeah, LED is gentler and more diffuse, so you can get away with it for a longer period of time.
Thank you ever so much. And I love the fact you're doing the calls. Thank you.
Our next caller, Ann Vogler in Philadelphia vicinity. I have a question for you, Yuri. Can you tell me which precious stones are in the longevity?
Actually, gosh, I need to look in the formula. So many things are there. But the main is petrified wood, because it's known for energy which helps to recover damaged cells and prolong life of cells.
Thank you for that.
Going back to just the basics of tonight, is that the longevity to the liver, because the liver has basically 100 different functions, as you know.
Yeah.
But the real issue is that we live in a toxic world, toxic environment, toxic chemicals. So the detoxification systems of that of the liver is what's beat up and overwhelmed. And so with the longevity formula, great strides forward of repairing because of the rejuvenation process. You can cut out 2/3 of the liver and it'll grow back in several months. So the point is that it is a highly, like our skin and microdigestive tract and mucosal lining, is that the longevity formula is going to be tremendous to the liver, and through our testing, it's shown it's been dramatic.
It comes online pretty fast under the influence of longevity.
Exactly right. So I'm really, really pleased at the energetic shifts that take place in the energies on the liver. All other aspects of the body, particularly in the process of doing different testing, as Jeff has shared, there's some that come on fast, instantly, but all the body, the entire body is stimulated. So for tonight's purpose, longevity is where I would start, and then we work on the liver because we know it's a focus. But as far as its detoxification capability and its impairment in the fatty infiltrate, I believe that this is going to show some significant shift in chemistries, blood panels, and Mohs energetics.
Right.
I feel energized globally and feed locally.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Gotcha.
Feed and clean locally, but energize globally. That it's so nice because you don't have to be giving 10, 15 formulas. And then after a little while, when you see where there's still a persistent energetic need, then you start filling in the blanks.
Exactly right. But the beauty of energy medicine, and that's why I'm so excited about and so proud of Yuri and his work, is that the same principle of energy, the laws of least resistance. So the areas that are in most desperate need tend to get the trickle charge. And so if the brain is what's in trouble, the nervous system's in trouble, you'll see it. And if it's the kidney, you'll see that. So the beauty in my practice, just by introducing this as a master formula up front, is we're beginning to see so many other things begin to not take front and center stage. Is that your experience, Jeff?
Totally. This is the easy button.
That's right. This.
Yeah, it is.
Serious, guy. Don't make it more difficult than
there,
it's the easy
button.
There's
a guy in the muscle testing world, Dr. Versadol, says, you know, his default, you know, whatever in doubt, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so it's kind of like whenever in doubt, if you're kind of stuck, longevity.
Yeah.
Right up front, everybody. And as patients walk in and out that are long-term patients, and I know who they are and know their condition, my intuition just grabs the bottle off the shelf and says, here, you need this. And then what we do is we get to hear the feedback, and they call me because we have an extended family relationship with all our patients, so they call at all times. And what's very cool and wonderful is, you know, they don't know what I gave them. They don't know why I gave it to them. They just trust me. And the thing of it is that when that happened, then what they do is they know that within a few days to kind of check in, and they tell me what's been going on. So for those that did not know they had kidney stress, began to feel energy in their kidneys, began voiding more frequently, began to do things, and they said that was a good thing. They felt congested, lymphatic stagnation. For those that were having inflammation, inflammation went down. And so what I'm finding is the laws of least resistance with this is that wherever is needing help, this is going to be the helper, the rescuer.
I'm really glad to know that. I also would like to know the master antiviral formula that I'm hoping is coming along. Viruses are very sneaky.
But the beauty is that the body intracellularly has the ability to kill viruses. So you raise the vitality and energy. The axiom I use around my practice all day, you turn the lights on, the roaches go away. Raise the energy globally of the body. What happens is that the drama of the microbes go away.
Okay, and oxytocin, are you guys using that separately, or is it more incorporated now into, you know, the healing love and the master brain?
Yes and yes.
Okay. Oxytocin, I just read, was very interesting because it helps with the neuroplastic changes in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Oxytocin rocks.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's it on my questions, but except for a huge gratitude. Oh, my God. What an addition to a practice. And I did want to mention just to anybody who doesn't have the test kits and does muscle testing, it's definitely worth having those test kits.
Perfect, because it helps you dial in exactly from your tool chest.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, and it makes you a better carpenter. Thanks for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have one last question. It's Carolyn Hamburger, and it's okay. A very short question. For all of those people with osteoarthritis, I was thinking with the stem cell enhancement that you're using in longevity, I'm wondering if that wouldn't help people repair their joints and their cartilage and save many people from replacements.
Well, that's a pretty tall order. I don't think that we've had it in place long enough to see that type of thing, but maybe some of our doctors could answer that if they've seen anything in that area.
Well, here's my take. In the biology world of using nutraceuticals to be able to resurrect damaged and torn up joints, that's the chiropractor's, massage therapist's mainstay. Any traumatized joint becomes energetically chaotic because of the collagen connective tissue becomes disruptive, and because of maladaption and movement, piezoelectric effects, traumatic changes take place, breakdown happens. So as long as we're bipedal, what happens is all the stress lines within the body have become altered because of the traumatized joint. It may take 15 to 20 years before we begin to see the arthritic changes. I remember sliding into second base and having my knee torn up when I was 12 years old, and I had my first aspiration of my knee by an orthopedist, and he told me, son, when you reach 30, 35, you're going to be like me, you're going to have arthritis of the knee. Well, I'm 56, don't have any arthritis of the knee. But the issue is that his thought, and I had a meniscus tear in the same knee, and we're still good. So the point being is that in conventional medicine and in conventional thought, once the degeneration takes place, there is no turning back. In the work of the glucosamine sulfate German studies to get actual regrowth of connective tissue, particularly meniscus in the knee, there has been some marginal changes. And in my practice, we've had a number of people bone-on-bone rub on medial meniscus side with spurring and lipping that within an 18-month period of time, sixteenth of an inch measured via radiograph, a sixteenth of an inch grow of connective tissue between the bones, no pads, no knee replacement. However, we're looking at 35, 45, 50-year-olds with that particular phenomenon. Once you get into the 60s and 70s, your recuperative powers have always diminished dramatically. The hope that we have with this particular product for those patients who are already taking the biochemistry is that this will reignite the body's healing aspect. So what I would do is I would encourage them. We get a brand new body every 2 years, so take it for 2 years. And if we've got new knees, let's take some pictures.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to add to that because it struck on something that Yuri and I talked about this afternoon, is that I don't think we're going to see the benefit of longevity until we've given it a chance to be longevity.
Absolutely. 100%. Ding, ding, ding.
I think once you put someone on this and you make a commitment to them,
yep,
it is 100 times better than any daily vitamin, daily probiotic. There's a lot of things in my, in Steve's and Gary's and everyone's dispensaries. They said I can only afford to stay on one thing every month. This would be it. That's how committed I am to this formula. That's what I'm seeing early on and how committed. I mean, I'm very random about taking stuff myself, but I don't miss this.
Absolutely.
Do you suggest it be taken between meals, or doesn't it matter?
I'm an anabolic, catabolic kind of doser, so I tend to dose things that raise our energy during our catabolic phase and things that help with repair and rejuvenation during our nighttime anabolic phase. So for most folks, well, I do like to do it twice a day. If I have to do it once a day at a higher dose, I'll do it anytime after 3 to 4 p.m. for when a person's going into anabolic mode, repair and rejuvenation. I take it every night before I go to bed with no adverse effects as far as staying awake or being jazzed up or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
It doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, I agree. And I like what Jeff is saying because your body heals, magically repairs at night, and you defuse all your stresses. So if you can provide an energy that will facilitate that, I think you're miles ahead.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, gentlemen, I think that you have done an excellent job. I hope that everyone got all the information that they needed, and we will have another call coming up in about 4 to 6 weeks. We thank you so much, and if no one has anything else to say, we'll wind it up for this call.